listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We are engaged in a very important conversation about what is animating the jihadist enemies we confront with a man who has studied the matter closely as a PhD in psychology, but also as the lead interrogator of a number of the most dangerous of the jihadists we have captured to date, including the mastermind of the 9/11 attacks, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. He is Dr. James Mitchell, the author of a terrific and really incredibly impressive book entitled Enhanced Interrogation: Inside the Minds and Motives of the Islamic Terrorists Trying to Destroy America, co-authored by Bill Harlow. Jim, you were talking about sort of the mindset of those we are confronting and the impact that our so-called political correctness has on them and on our capacity to deal with the threat that they represent. You know, I'm often inclined to suggest that whatever we call it, political correctness, multiculturalism, you know, diversity, sensitivity, what have you, our enemies call it submission, and it reinforces their expectation that they will, in fact, triumph over us because that is, as you were saying earlier, Allah's will. Is that actually operating in the minds of people like KSM, as you see it?
Well, yeah, he sees it as he told me it's a thousand-year war, that it's actually a battle, a war of ideas, and that he realizes that what he needs to do, they can't kill all of us who currently hold ideas that are not consistent with the Salafist version of Islam. But what they can do is infect the minds of the people growing up. And they see this as a ratcheting acceptance of Sharia. And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. One of the things he was talking about, how if they did enough of these sort of random terror attacks on soft targets, what would happen is the general populace of these Western democracies, he was talking about the United States, but he said that the general population would become so frightened, so scared, and so overwhelmed by the terror that they would just want it to end, and they would acquiesce. And in my view, you saw that in Spain after that train attack just before the election. And you also saw something similar to that after the Manchester attack.
Dr. James Mitchell is in the house, virtually at least. We're talking about the attacks in Britain and insights into the mindset of those who perpetrated them, as well as others who are also seeking our destruction. And Jim, you were talking about the extent to which the attacks in Manchester and before that in Spain actually translated into practical impact for the jihadists on the governments in question, or certainly seem to have in the case of the Brits. I just wonder, to what extent is that calculus operating as these guys engage in terrifying conduct? You seem to think there's a pretty direct connection.
Well, I think it's one of the general strategies that they use. You know, I'm not, a direct conduit for them, but I spent enough time around them to know how they think. And one thing that they believe that is that if they frighten the populace enough, that they will just want it to end. And in doing so, they will acquiesce. And what I think a lot of people don't realize is that acquiescence is actually a ratcheting up of their foothold into destroying a Western democracy, because what happens is they maintain that enclave that they've created through multicultural political correctness. They start getting people elected. Those people are more sympathetic to the Islamists than they are to Western democracy. And slowly, slowly, slowly over time, you actually end up in a situation where you no longer recognize the government that you have in control of the country.
Jim, a related point is the extent to which the jihadists, as they engage in this kind of takedown, are enabled and, in fact, to a very considerable degree, empowered to perform this kind of, civilization jihad, I guess is what the Brotherhood calls it. Then it morphs into the violent kind, by their friends on the hard left. There's some pedigree here for political correctness as a as an instrument of the leftist, notably, you know, Saul Alinsky and company. Do you see that as you've been interacting with some of these jihadists that they understand that they're able to make this kind of common cause, even with people who you'd think would never want to empower such folks because they'll kill feminists, they'll kill Jews, they'll kill homosexuals and the like first. And all of those are, of course, core constituencies of the left in this country, at least.
Right. Well, I think that's the primary reason it's still so hard for us to wipe out. And I don't think that is lost on them. You know, when I was talking about recruitment and radicalization with the terrorists in CIA custody, most of them scoffed at the notion that we would be able to prevent it or that we could do anything about it. Because as Khalid Sheikh Mohammed told me, that the terrorists would eventually win because we didn't have the will or stomach to do what must be done to stop them, while they, on the other hand, embraced terror and violence and death more than life. He said we have short attention spans, no appetite for conflict, and are weakened by our desire to have the world like us, and that our media, especially the media on the left, with either on purpose or without realizing it, promote their cause and champion the tearing down of the measures that kept Americans safe after 9/11. You know, he said it would promote their cause by framing the war against them as wrong and impossible to win. And I think that feeds right into that notion. This idea that multiculturalism is the way to go, that's what's presenting assimilation. You know, not teaching Western values to people in the first place during their formative years. Because as it's looked at right now, everything that has to do with the Western values is somehow evil and mean in terms of the politically correct legions. And this notion of multiculturalism, that every culture is valid and every, you know, every feature of that culture is just as valid as others, that's not true.
And Jim, you're talking about something that's really critical to understanding this. It's not just that, as Theresa May has suggested, that these jihadists in the United Kingdom have not adequately understood or embraced British values, the Brits themselves have not to a considerable degree, nor have many of the rest of us in the Western civilized world. Let me ask you one quick question about this, and then we'll turn to the United States. Did you find surprising the revelation after this most recent London attack that there are as many as 23,000 jihadists in the United Kingdom that the government there is trying to keep tabs on, some considered to be very, very dangerous, some friends of those who are very, very dangerous and of an unknown intent, but worrying just the same. Is that shocking to you as it was to many of us, or not a surprise at all?
It didn't surprise me. I think one of the things that political correctness has done is kept us from recognizing the depth and the width of this threat. You know, what you've seen over the last decade or so, particularly with President Obama's lead from behind policy, is you've seen an increase in the spread of these Islamists, this violent Islamist ideology, and you've seen an increase in these terror attacks. And at the same time, you've seen an increase in the people on the left to try to hide that or downplay the danger of it because, you know, you don't want to be called an Islamophobic or you don't want to be called a racist or whatever. But this turn the other cheek idea is a one-sided suicide pact when it comes to dealing with Islamists, because their intent is to kill you.
We're going to pause for one more moment, and we'll be right back with Dr. James Mitchell, the author of Enhanced Interrogation and an incredibly insightful observer and analyst of what we confront in the name of Sharia supremacists. That and more straight ahead.